Jai Ram Bhagavat Kunya Vihari. Also Tada Sita Shi Shimad. His divine grace Abhaya Chalanan Bhaktivedanta Gosami Srila Prabhupada. ISKCON founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijai. Anandakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Kijai. Namacharya Srila Vidas Thakur Kijai. Vren Sekaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Prabhu Nityananda Shikwede Gadatha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindi Gajai Shishi Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam ki jai, Mataram ki jai, Jagannatha Swami ki jai, Yamunamari ki jai, Shivani Lassi Devi ki jai, Samavidam Okta Vrindavan ki jai, Gaur Premananda Hari Kandam. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru Gauranga, Srimad ki jai, The reading from 10th canto, 10th chapter, text 10. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Deva Sangatam Api Ante Krame Vid Vastra Sangita Bhuta Truk Tat Krite Swartam Kim Veda Muriho Yataha Deva Sangitam Apyante. No, it's Apyante, not Apyante. That's the rule for Sundays in Sanskrit. When you have a Y and a vowel, it's Apyante. Krimi Vibhashma Sangitam. Uda Truktat Prite Swartam. Kim Veda Nirayho Yataha. Deva Sangitam Apyante. Krimi Vitvashma Sangitam. Uta Trukta Takrite Swartam. In Veda Nirayo Yataha. Eva Sangitam Apyantai. Remi Ved Vashva Sangitaka. Ahuta Druktakrite Swartam. Kim Veda Nidayo Yataha. Ladies. Shai. Deva Sanyatam. The body now known as a very exalted person, like a president, minister, even demigod. Even if the body is so exalted, ante, after death, kunini, turns into worms, bits, or into stool, basmasangatam, or into ashes, buddha druk, a person who does not accept the Shastric injunctions and is unnecessarily envious of other living entities. Tatkrite, by acting in that way, swartam, self-interest. Kim, who is there? Veda, knows. Because from such sinful activities, one must suffer hellish conditions. So translation. While living, one may be proud of one's body, thinking oneself a very big man, minister, president, or even demigod. But whatever one may be after death, this body will turn either into worms, into stool, or into ashes. If one kills poor animals to satisfy the temporary whims of this body, one does not know that he will suffer in his next birth. For such a sinful miscreant must go to hell and suffer the results of his actions. So purport, who has divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In this verse, the three words, krimi, vid, vasma, are significant. After death, the body may become krimi, which means worms. For if the body is disposed of without cremation, it may be eaten by worms, or else it may be eaten by animals like hogs and vultures, and turned into stool. Pretty heavy. Prabhupada doesn't mention the Parshis, who actually throw bodies off of a tower, and then the bodies are eaten by vultures. Those who are more civilized, it's a little loud. Those who are more civilized burn the dead body, and thus it becomes ashes, flesh, marks on the top. Yet although the body will be turned into worm stool or ashes, foolish persons just to maintain it commit many sinful activities. This is certainly regrettable. The human form of body is actually meant for jivasya, tattva, jivyas, enlightenment and knowledge of spiritual values. Therefore, one must seek shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, tasmat gurum pavadyeta. One must approach a guru who is a guru, Shabde Pare Janishna Tam. That's Bhagavatam 11.3.21. The guru is one who has full transcendental knowledge. Unless one approaches a spiritual master, one remains in ignorance. Acharyavan Purusho Veda, just from the Chandogya Upanishad 6.14.2. One who has full knowledge about life, when one is a Charyavan controlled by the Acharya. But when one is conducted by Raja Guna, Kamo Guna, one does not care about anything. Instead, one acts like an ordinary foolish animal, risking his life, Ritu Sangsa, the path of death. And therefore, continuing to go through suffering after suffering. That David is what to continue the Vishnu, Bhagavatam 7.5.31, that means David. He indulges in sinful activities and goes deeper and deeper into hellish. So, Deva Sangitam Abhyante Krimi Vidvashma Sangitam Buddha Dhru Tatrute Swartam Kim Veda Nirayo Yataha. So, Om Gana Tivadandrasha Gananjana Shlakya Chachuru Gurinam Gena Tasmai Shi. So, several points here. I was asked to leave time open for questions, so I'm going to try to go a little quicker than normal. Several points here is Prabhupada comments that in civilized society, we cremate the body. Now, sometimes we get this question from people who are not in the Vedic society or not Hindus. Why do you cremate? I mean, actually, the question was raised yesterday. Would you like to be put into an oven? Now, not while I'm alive, but when I'm dead, who cares what they do with this stupid thing? Tridaduke, Momahijati. This body is simply bile, mucus, air, and some other substances we cannot mention in Bhagavatam class. And so that's all it is. Don't glorify it. I mean, just like yesterday we drove by a place where they had all old cars that were smashed. I saw hundreds and hundreds of cars that were smashed, you know, because they, you know, I guess they were going to use the metal for something else and sell the metal. And who cares? If you're not in the car, who cares if they smash the car, right? I mean, unless it's a nice car. But if the car is an old car and you don't need it anymore, you're not going to start crying and go to the car funeral home. The passenger's not there anymore. So, but there's a reason for cremation. I mean, a lot of good reasons. One reason is you don't take up a lot of space when you can be doing agriculture with dead bodies. The most important reason is when the person dies, most of us are really attached to our body. For example, we're very interested in, you have a mobile phone and we take selfies, right? Anybody doing a selfie? Here's me, you know, so you see in many of the temples like our Krishna Balaram Mandir, it says, please do not take pictures. Now the reason it says do not take pictures of Krishna Balaram Mandir is because not that we wanted to stop people taking pictures of the deities, but people would take selfies all the time. Here's me with Radhashyama Shunda. Here's me with Gornatai. Here's me and my wife holding hands in front of Krishna Balaram. So and it's crazy. And then we look in the mirror, you know, mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the best sannyasi of them all? So we look in the mirror, and it's me. And, you know, just like a few months ago, I was visiting my mother, and I was going through my baby pictures. Here's me as a baby, eating my first prasada, like that. So, you know, we're just very self-centered. Ego, that's the false ego. So naturally, when you leave the body, you're not going to want to leave. Of course, if you're really sinful, you have a little help. That's Yamaraj. She helps you. You can't stick around. No, I don't want to leave. That's me. That's me lying there. And Yamaraj with his ropes of Varuna. Actually, Yamaraj just comes. And they yank you out. And you say goodbye to the body. So, but sometimes people are so sinful, they hang around their bodies as ghosts. I mean, Krishna's given me the ability to see ghosts. So I actually have seen in cemeteries the ghosts and otherwise. And the ghosts also hang around places where people take intoxication. Prabhupada talked about that. One of the temples that I'm in charge of is in the city of New Orleans in the United States, where you have perhaps the most highest rate of intoxication of anywhere, any city, because there's a Anyway, I'm not going to describe what it's like. We go on Harinam. Everybody's going Harinam. And all the prostitutes are waving from the windows, chanting holy names. You don't understand. And everybody's drunk down the street. So you can see the ghosts, they're just hanging from the trees. So the whole point is that you cremate the body, the ghost, or the subtle body, and the soul. They lose hope that they can come back, and it really helps them move on. It's like, there's a word in English called closure. Now, the reason we have elaborate funerals in Hindu society is to give the family closure. It's really not so much for the person who's left their body, although you may think so. I know in some Hindu societies, they actually put out things like cigarettes for the whatever the person liked, put out some cigarettes. But the cigarettes are the reason the guy died anyway. Right? And you're putting out the thing that killed him. How stupid can you be? And they put it out under a tree and the dog finally eats it. It's the cigarette, I'm not sure. But anyways, you got to think about it. But we do have these rituals. So many different rituals. Most of them are just for the people alive so that they can have closure. You know, like saying goodbye to somebody. That's called closure. Some of them are for the benefit of the person, but those are the spiritual activities. Like we chant Hare Krishna, like Prabhupada said, 3 days after a person passes away, we should sponsor a feast in the honor of that person. If you sponsor a feast, you feed the Vaishnavas, then the person gets benefit. So there are certain things, like pinda and things like that. When it's a spiritual activity, if it's just a ritual, it doesn't help. But if you do it with the right consciousness, it's not a question of just like doing some ritual, like sometimes they change the Brahman thread from one side of the body to the other. But you have to really be invoking Krishna for it to have any benefit. Because otherwise it's something called Niyamagraha. We know from the nectar of instruction, Niyamagraha, that Niyamagraha means you're doing activities, ritualistically, and you're not connecting to Krishna. You're just chanting your rounds to get your rounds done. Thank God I finished my rounds. Now I can get on to my real life. Like Prabhupada was joking one time, he picked up his bee bag, moved his last counter bead down, and he said, finished. And he said, now I can do any damn thing. So getting back to the funeral. So that's the point for the elaborate ceremonies, is for the people to feel closure. And also for the people to understand the temporary nature of this world. That's probably the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita during funerals, usually. And that's the most popular chapter. Because the second chapter deals with the jiva type, the nature of the soul. The jayate, nidhe, bhagadachi, nidhava, bhavata, nabuya. But the soul is not birth or death. I think you all know that first, I hope. And so you hear all these verses, people think, I should be serious about spiritual life. Of course, here in Fiji, they take kava, so they're not so serious in their funerals, right? If you don't have kava, nobody will come to your funeral. So I should write in my will, leave a few $1,000 over for kava. So all the words will come. So it helps you think about the temporary nature of this world when you go to funerals. But then there's this other dynamic called smarshana vairagya. Maybe you've heard of that before. Which means renunciation of the crematorium. And it's like a sarcastic statement. It means the people become very renounced at the crematorium. But then after they leave, you give them a few days, they get back into their nonsense again. People just don't learn. They take the two swarms of the two tradition. You know, it's right in front of your eyes. Yeva hirar kamanita. Andar yatanda. They're blind and they're being led by other blind people. You would think when people see the nature of this body, they would become detached. And I'll give you an example, not at a funeral. I was, one time I had an operation and I was conscious during the operation. I was supposed to be. It's Krishna conscious. But anyway, I was conscious. And the doctors and the nurses, they were talking about love. You know, so here's someone operating on a body. You see the nature of the body. Yuck. And then the doctor looks over at the nurse. Yeah, you think you would learn. People just, you know, under the other. They're blind. They see, but they don't see. It's just incredible, isn't it? So people go to the, let's go back to the crematorium. Not let's go back, but let's talk about the crematorium. So people go. And they become very renounced, and then after that, that's it. They get back after 2 weeks into their nonsense. So that doesn't give them renunciation. I mean, temporary renunciation, but unless they have purification of the heart by the chanting of the holy name, there's no permanent renunciation. I mean, you could say, oh, I'm very renounced. Now I'm going to become a sannyasi. Maybe you come out 2 weeks later and you find a girlfriend or boyfriend or something like that. It's useless. So the only way to get rid of these desires, as we know, is Krishna consciousness. Chanting the holy name fries the desires. The Prabhupada, actually, Lord Chaitanya gave that example. It fries the papa bija, that means the seed of sinful desire. So it's not that funerals, you know, if we go to a lot of funerals, we become more Krishna conscious. So anyway, but then another point I wanted to add about cremation is that generally, we were talking yesterday to a very nice Muslim lady, generally sannyasis are not cremated. Now, why is that? Are sannyasis more attached to their bodies? Well, the reason is that a sannyasi generally is fully engaged in Krishna's service, not generally, should be fully engaged in Krishna's service. So the body actually becomes spiritualized. Brahmapranam brahmahaviya brahmatma brahmanamutam brahmatena dantavyam brahmakarma samadhanam. That if you use something in Krishna's service, that then it becomes spiritual. Just like we have Prabhupada's, even the remnants, the things that Prabhupada used are preserved in the Krishna Balaram Mandir. And we worship those things, or the shoes that Prabhupada used, or anything, any of the remnants. Actually, it's described if you utilize the remnants of the deities, the remnants of the spiritual master, even the clothes, of course, not the shoes. You're not supposed to wear the spiritual master's shoes or his socks. Then you make some spiritual advancement. Like that. Actually, one time in Africa, some devotees stole Prabhupada's dhoti. It was hanging on the line to dry. The Prabhupada went to the temple room to source of the brahmacharis wearing his dhoti. So that's not the type of spiritual called chora. To think. So the sannyasi or guru's body generally is not burned. And even when the acharya or great personality dies, you put their body on a palanquin And they can take them even in front of the deities. And that's amazing. Because the spiritualization, when you engage something in Krishna's service, it's spiritual. Of course, it's not the eternal body of the spiritual master. You understand? It's not that eternally Prabhupada will look like that or does look like that. But still, because Prabhupada used that, that was his vehicle. Therefore, spiritualized, therefore there's the samadhi for the great personalities. And they're put in the ground and the bodies put in the ground. Sometimes there is cremation because of certain circumstances where in India the people would come to defile the bodies of these great personalities. And then there's one samadhi in Radhakund called the Teen Goswami Samadhi, which is three of the Goswamis, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Gopal Radhadas, and Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who all passed away on the same day, different years, and they had their bodies had to be cremated because of the attacks of people of other religions who would dig the bodies up and desecrate the bodies. So anyway, so the main point made here in this purport and in this verse is that we're not the body. And Lord Rishabhadev, let me turn over the questions. Lord Rishabhadev states that if we think we are the bodies, we are acting like hogs and dogs. In his instructions to his sons, Lord Rishabhadev had 100 sons, pretty good. Nayam deho, padeha, bhajam, yoga, kashnam, kamam, arate, vidbu, jamye, tato, divyam, putu, pigyay, vashakwam. He says to his sons, you have this human body, which is very rare, as Balai Maharaj says, very rare to be a human being. Even in this room, most of the entities in this room are non-human. I'm not referring to any of you. Referring to all the microbes and bugs and mosquitoes, and billions and trillions of all the cells in your body. So it's very rare to be a human being. We're living in the jungle, it's very rare. So Lord Rishabhadev says, you have this human being, not the human body, not they or they are. So you should not act like he says, like these old leaders. The stool eaters, pigs, obviously. The stool eaters, they simply engage in what eating, sleeping, mating, defending. And so human beings, they engage in the same things in a so-called sophisticated way. Like the pig is eating the stool on the ground, and you're sitting in an airplane eating dead bodies, not you. So you're like a flying pig. The stewardess is serving you a dead body. And you think, I'm better than the pig. You go to Vrindavan and see all these pigs. You don't need septic tanks in Vrindavan because the pigs take care of it. So anyway, so... But you're no better if you're doing those things. If your whole life is just like eating, sleeping, reproducing, everything like that. I mean, we have to eat and sleep, obviously. And that's the name of it. Stop eating, stop sleeping, stop reproducing. Stop sleeping. I don't think we can do any of those things. So, but the point is that should not be the focus of one's life. And even the eating, sleeping, mating, dependent can be utilized in Krishna's service. You eat prasadam. You sleep to get energy to serve Krishna. A process of children to become Krishna conscious of many nice little boys. So anyways, and defending, we preach Krishna consciousness. And it's defending. You know, we become like, actually, Prabhupada said devotees should be like lions when they're preaching, lions on the chase, but not lions at home. Lions in the chase, that means when they're out, and like a lamb at home. So when you're in the temple, you become like a lamb. You know what a lamb is? You know, it's a very sweet little thing with fur on it. It's so cute. And then a lion, you don't want to pet a lion. You will lose your head. So it's a proper construction. So therefore, life is meant for being more than a pig. That's what. And then Lord Shabbat continues, what? Kapo divyam, you have to execute austerities. Because naturally, as Prabhupada points out here, we may have an inclination for eating things that are not good for us, you know, non-veg things. It's like you walk by a cake shop that has eggs, you know, cake shop. I'm sure it's true some of your experiences. Look at the cake. And you start to salivate like Pavlovian's dogs. Anyway, so you start to salivate. Nobody's watching. Just like when the devotees were at 26th Avenue, that there was actually like a coffee shop next door to the temple. And then they would sneak in there where Prabhupada wasn't looking. And then Prabhupada would walk by and go like this. Hide from Prabhupada. So anyway, so tapo divya means, you know, the austerity of sometimes not giving in to what your senses are saying. Like if your senses are saying in the morning, sleep, you're tired, it's so comfortable in bed. Then you have to say, no, that's the austerity. It's simple. I mean, it sounds, it's, you know, it's a little difficult. And then, you know, other things, you know, not eating, sleeping, you know, all these things have to be dovetailed with personal service. So it takes a little bit of austerity, or a lot of austerity, depending on who you are. But it requires, aka Kudamandana, understanding your goal, the reason for it. Krishna Dhanja's austerity is not actually just austerity. You have a reason for it, then you can do austerity. There, Lord Vrishabhadev says, the final portion of the book. First that I quote it. The poet that you literally gave yourself love. Shudyad Yasmad Brahma Shoka Twanantam. Because this way you can actually enjoy spirituality. So I thought I would leave time open for questions. So who has questions? Yeah. What? Okay. You have to speak loudly to some fans. I mean, whoever's going to ask a question has to come up here because the fans are this white noise. But you don't have to turn up the fan. You just have to, or use another microphone or something. Because when you have this fan's going, it really blocks my ability to hear.
Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being Lord himself, he got initiated and he accepted Srila Ishwara Puri as his spiritual master. Mm-hmm. Please could you further elaborate the importance of having a spiritual master for all of us?
Okay, the spiritual master is the external manifestation of Chaitanya Guru. Now, the original guru is right there in our hearts, right? Ishwara Sarvabhutama, Videsha Vidatishnati. He's in our hearts, and he's telling us a lot of things, but we're not listening. And like sometimes I speak to people from a Christian background, and they say, Jesus is in my heart. And then I say, why do you drink? What does Jesus say about that? He says, I said, I said, you're not listening to Jesus. So people, because we have, we're conditioned and we have a tendency to make mistakes and perfect senses, you know, et cetera, as mentioned by the Acharyas, we can't really hear what Krishna is saying to us. So therefore, we need Krishna to come out of the heart. So he comes out of the heart of the spiritual master, who's the external manifestation, super soul. And but one has to be careful in accepting spiritual master to make sure the spiritual master is bona fide. Samit Panishwaju Ramanishna. The spiritual master has to be a servant of his guru, we mentioned this yesterday, class. Ready to do anything the guru wants, like Prabhupada. Prabhupada in the beginning of the days of the movement was cleaning up after a whole bunch of young, sloppy kids, and cooking for them, cleaning, even cleaning the bathroom. So it was humble. So Samit Panishwaju must have heard nicely from the spiritual master and be able to repeat. And Ramanishna, someone who doesn't fall back. So one has to find, accept the spiritual master for guidance. Now, the spiritual master doesn't give guidance and investments. It's not really good. Or in COVID. I tried it, it doesn't work. People get angry. I tell people. So I gave it up. So the spiritual master gives spiritual instruction and guidance. According to the disciples' psychophysical nature. So that's why it's important to have a spiritual master, both Sukhshuddha and Vichudu, who's on the planet, because things change. You know, things actually change. And your nature has to be ascertained. You know, for example, people may say, well, I should just accept Rigid philosophy, someone who is not present on the planet anymore. But you really need someone who's going to give you guidance according to time, place, circumstance, and your psychophysical. So it's really important because, certainly the world changes. This is not the same world that Prabhupada was preaching in years ago. So that things need to be adjusted. I mean, details, not principles. We don't adjust them. Principles of Krishna consciousness, just them. Some details, time, place, and circumstance.
What happens to our consciousness after the soul leaves our body?
That depends on how conscious you were. If your consciousness is like an animal, then you become not you, that's just the general sense. Someone becomes a dog or a cat or a cockroach. A cockroach is Fiji has no cockroaches. Or you become like one of the, last night I was being entertained by one of these lizards. I was sleeping saying, shut up, I told him. Super old. To see if the lizard understood it, but he didn't. So, you know, that depends. And if you have good consciousness, you go back to Godhead. Simple as that. So really, there's no answer to your question. It just depends what your consciousness is about. Yeah.
Shankara, Thakur says, most of the Patita Prabhu, Na Pai Devana, but he is considered the most exalted, the most pure devotee. Why is he doing that?
So, who is the most pure devotee? What did you say? Haridas Thakur. Narottama Das Thakur is the most pure devotee. What? He's one of the pure devotees. Sometimes you hear the statements, he is the most exalted devotee. He is the most exalted devotee. He is the most exalted devotee. She is the most exalted devotee. Because that's a bhava expression. You know, you have to understand the difference between tattva and bhava. The most exalted devotee is Srimati Radharani. That's tattva. But bhava, you know, just like I may say, Prabhupada is the greatest devotee of all time. That's not a tattva statement. That's a statement of my own feelings, emotions. So devotees have these different aspects to their expressions. You understand? And sometimes, you know, there'll be a little, what's called hyperbole. Hyperbole means a little exaggeration. I mean, Prabhupada, in my mind, Prabhupada is the greatest devotee. But also, in my mind, Radharani is the greatest devotee. So it's in the spiritual world, also, you can have many people who are the greatest. Because it's not the people who are lesser. You know, we're thinking in terms of lesser, greater. I mean, it's a material conception, like, oh, the gopis are the best. And then materially, you might think, oh, their coward boys are not so good. Isn't it? When you have, like, comparatives in English, it generally means that someone else is lacking, not someone else. That's good. You're the best. It's a soccer player. Like, I was just with Russell Yehari, and he was the best soccer player. And then I was talking to someone else, and he said, oh, you're not such a good soccer player. That applies in the material world. But spiritually, everybody can be the best. But Radharani is the best. I hope that makes sense. She's the best. All right, no questions. Good questions. This is really good. This is the first time in Fiji I've actually had questions during class. I mean, I was just in Mombasa, Bandi, everywhere else. Does anyone have any questions? And there was a Hindi translation, too, so it was not that people didn't understand me. This is good. I mean, Sue is the best. Don't tell that to people on the bus. Anyway.
The more is a rich experience of hosting devotees in New Orleans.
Yeah.
I just wanted to ask, it is written that Krishna dwells in the hearts of all living entities. Is
yes.
that true for the ghosts?
Yes. Yes, I mean, Krishna is spiritually situated. Sometimes in the description of how Krishna is situated is like, reflections, I guess, let's say if you have the moon up there. This morning I was actually looking at the moon. It's almost full. It's really beautiful. Don't worry, I wasn't becoming romantic. I was just looking at the, you know, a nice moon. And so, and the moon gets reflected in different bodies of water. So the super soul is spiritually situated. You can't really say the soul, the super soul is floating around in the blood in your heart. That would be pretty disgusting. He never touches matter. So the super soul is in the heart of the living entity is in the subtle body too. Because we have a subtle body and a gross body. But this person who only has a ghost body or a subtle body is suffering because they have the desires like you and I have. But they don't have a gross body in which to fulfill those desires. That's why the ghosts hang around bars, because they can actually enter into the person's body, take over the person's body. The Vedas actually describe this in terms of chakras. When you take intoxication, you open up certain chakras that you don't want to open up. And then you can be inhabited. You can be inhabited by other living entities. It's a serious thing. So in this particular place, I mean, ghosts, why do they keep the bars dark? So that those will be comfortable. Isn't it? Most bars are very dark. And they have other things there, like they have like soccer games and rugby games. I was in New Zealand once in the lounge. People were watching a soccer game, and they were just becoming like animals. They weren't playing soccer. They were just watching it. They were drunk and watching it. They were, I got scared for a few minutes. So, should we take more questions, or should we take more questions? Anyway, I guess we should work. What? What's that? Tomorrow, well, tomorrow's a special day. Bhakti Sanatana Saraswati Thakur's disappearance. We're going to be speaking about it tomorrow. Yes, yeah, so we'll leave more time open for questions in the future because this is a new experience in Fiji for me. Nobody's ever going around with me will understand what I'm talking about. Nobody has questions. It's very disappointing. Okay, that means you have good training. That means you're getting philosophy here. Wow, pretty good. Congratulations to you. Teaching philosophy, actually. Okay, and then let me know. All glory to this mind, Shiva Prabhupada, Shiva Prabhupada.